After the victory of the Islamic Revolution on February 11, 1979, Imam Khomeini called on all Iranians to take part in a nationwide referendum to determine the ruling system after the ouster of tyrannical anti-popular system. Therefore, on the two last days of March, a referendum was held across the country in which over 98.2% of the participants voted yes to Islamic Republic as the next ruling system in Iran. Holding our referendum within nearly 50 days after the revolution has had no precedent in any place in the world. Some experts and revolutionary figures would say that the nation's million-strong support for an Islamic ruling system quite clearly proved that there was no need for a referendum. But the great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, insisted on holding a referendum. This proves that the Imam honestly believed in people and their votes, unlike Western politicians and statesmen who believe in people only as a decorative element in their rule. The Imam said to the people, "This referendum will determine the fate of our nation. This referendum will either drag you to freedom and independence or, like before, to suffocation and affiliation to others. This referendum is what everyone should participate in. You can choose whatever form of government that you wish. You have the right and can write democratic republic, royal regime, or whatever you want on this paper. You are free in this." On April 1, 1979, the Iranian nation unanimously announced their decisive vote and demonstrated their Islamic solidarity and national unity. Thus, they put an end to a long history of tyranny, oppression, and colonialism. Holding of referendum in Iran led to formation of the Islamic Republic system with the unprecedented vote of over 98.2% of participants in favor of this type of government. This event proved that the free will of the Iranian nation and revived hope in the hearts of the oppressed and downtrodden across the world. The current leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said, "There is another characteristic in our Islamic Republic Day, that this day is not only the feast of the Iranian people, it can rather be the feast of all those who are Muslims, that is, nearly 1 billion people. They, I mean Muslim nations, have got used to see Islam in the passive position of defense, in the state of isolation. Once a nation stands in the position of attacking domineering powers and attacking incomplete human systems and proclaims a republic on the basis of Islam, this is the source of pride and honor for all Muslim nations. In short, there are various characteristics in the Islamic Republic Day." Dear listeners, the Islamic Republic is a novel and unprecedented form of ruling system. It has seriously challenged the existing forms of government in the West and the East. It is both Islamic and popular, unlike the claimed democratic governments, which have little to do with people's vote and will. Iran has put a new model of government in front of the contemporary man. The establishment of the Islamic Republic system in Iran was followed by both internal and external developments, most of which were not compatible with the goals and policies of colonial and domineering powers. That's why they started all-out enmity with this system from day one of its coming to existence. The Islamic Republic has paid dearly for survival in the ceaseless war of the enemies against the nation. These include the 8-year all-out war that had been imposed on Iran some 18 months after the formation of the Islamic Republic system, assassination of over 17,000 of officials, ordinary people and scientists, cruel sanctions in every field and creation of obstacles in a very big variety of arenas in which the Iranian nation intends to advance. Now, 43 years into the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian nation has gathered a plethora of experiences and has started marching in the second phase of this revolution, as the leader has put it. The Islamic Republic of Iran stands tall on the summit of Islamic resistance to show the glorious path of freedom and independence to freedom-seeking nations.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam, is actually known as Bab al-Hawaij.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام خير الأمور أوسطها.
زيارة of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim alayhi salam.
السلام عليك يا مولاي. Musa ibn Ja'far wa rahmatullah.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. I'm your host, Mehdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Kadhim, alayhi salam. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, alayhi salam, was the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and he was also the seventh divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Now, we find that Imam Musa al-Kadhim's life, in all of its various dimensions, is distinguished in a few things. First of all, he is distinguished in the firmness and the strength for which he stood up for when it came to the right, to truth, to haq. We also find his steadfastness in front of all kinds of events, trials and tribulations, good or bad. And we also see Imam Musa al-Kadhim's luminous behavior, his actions, his morals, and his ethics, of which no deviation or crookedness has ever been reported. And finally, the life of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam is marked by balance. It is in harmony with that of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. These are his dialogues.
قال الإمام الكاظم عليه السلام ليس من دواء إلا وهو يهيج داء وليس شيء في البدن أنفع من إمساك اليد إلا عما يحتاج إليه.
إمام موسى الكاظم عليه السلام stated there is no medicine except that it exacerbates another ailment and there is nothing more beneficial to the body than self-restraint from all except that which the body needs.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's a blessing to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. In the beautiful dialogues and conversations of this divinely appointed Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim alayhi salam, we find that Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam talked to his companions about this concept of following the lowly desires of the self. And so Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he spoke about this idea that one should not follow the low desires of the self. For surely this self will lead you astray. It will lead you towards extravagance in all kinds of different aspects. To retain control, to stay under control, and to be in control is one of the key aspects and characteristics of a believer. And so we find that Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam spoke to his companions in this dialogue and he said, guard against the easy ascent when its slope is rugged. For surely, my father has said, do not leave the soul alone with its low desires, for its low desires destroys the soul. Leaving the soul alone with what it desires will harm it, and preventing the soul from what it desires will cure it. It's so interesting. So we have two conversations. One is the conversation of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam with his companion, and the other is the conversation of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam with his esteemed father, His Eminence Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq alayhi salam. And so here in these two conversations, we understand that we should never leave the soul alone, meaning leave ourselves free, wild, without any control. Because what happens is that the low desires, they will begin to try to take control. And these low desires, as Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, will destroy the self. It will destroy the soul. So for example, greed or jealousy, pride and arrogance, all these kind of low desires that an individual has, these animalistic desires, if you say, they will surely destroy the soul. And if you leave the soul alone, then the things that are these low desires will harm the soul. It will damage the soul. It's just like addiction. When you become addicted to something, addicted has a negative connotation to it because you get addicted to things that are bad. When you get addicted to things that are bad, they destroy your life. They destroy your soul. And on the other hand, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, he says that to prevent the soul from these low desires cures it, purifies it, cleanses it, strengthens it. It makes the soul more powerful. The beautiful words of advice in this dialogue of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program Dialogue. I'm Atar, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I want you to listen to a shorter speech by Sheikh Abbas Mirza about Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam.
For about 20 years, the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, was in the service of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam's mother, who was a Moroccan origin, was also a very renowned and pious personality who have definitely contributed in the purity of the sixth Imam as well. When we look at the period, the political period, at that time, we find that Imam have attended or Imam faced about six tyrannical khulafa. Sajjah, who was known to be the most furious, the blood-sucking Khalifa of that time, because the period is where we are seeing the downfall of the Umayyads and the coming to power of the Abbasids. So it's a time where there is a lot of turmoil. Everyone who is about to lose the power want to be extremely furious, extremely, you know, bloodthirsty, want to rule with the iron fist so that they could save the power. And the tyrants and the oppressors and the khulafa who wants to come to power once again, responding or trying to come to power with the iron fist as well. So it was Sajjah, and then after that it was Mansur al-Dawaniqi, who was also a very cruel, cunning figure in the Islamic history, who have even brought Imam from Medina to Baghdad, and as soon as Imam was summoned, basically forced to come, and there is that very famous dua of Imam Kazim alayhi salam that we have in Mafati and also in other dua books, which reflects that unique understanding of the Imam in regards to Tawheed, in regards to Tawhidi principles. That dua is fascinating and amazing. Highly recommend to be recited on the 25th of Rajab.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Food for thought.
The Lady of Light, the Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, has been quoted in explaining the philosophy behind some of the basic tenets of Islam in the following passage. Never become angry with others and do not ask anything from them. Wish for the people whatever you wish for yourself.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching, along with other threats, has brought the species to the brink of extinction. The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
Millions of people across the world celebrate Earth Hour, a symbolic Lights Out event that aims to call attention to environmental issues and the necessity of protecting the planet. The annual event encourages people to turn off their non-essential lighting for an hour and take a break from using electronic devices during that period. Earth Hour takes place every year on the last Saturday of March. The theme of this year's event is Shape Our Future and has been celebrated in more than 180 countries, including Greece, France, Thailand, and Iran. The initiative was first introduced in 2007 by the World Wildlife Fund as a grassroots movement for highlighting the collective responsibility of the people towards their environment. An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj Archaeological Park was occupied for 1,700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even minor spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glossy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year, we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras or around $14 to use the bridge. In Peru, paleontologists have unearthed the skull of a ferocious marine predator that is an ancestor of the modern-day whale. The 36-million-year-old skull was dug up intact after it was discovered in Peru's southern desert. The fossil belongs to an ancient mammal whose contemporary descendants include dolphins. Recreations of how the animal looked like show it mostly resembles a giant lizard that moved like a snake. Paleontologists say it was a top predator measuring some 12 meters long.
The discovery is very important because the skull is in a perfect state of preservation. The skull and the jaw are in the right anatomical position. The teeth are complete. It's very possible this might be a new Basilosaurus species. If this is so, there is no other fossil like this one anywhere else in the world.
Salas further explained when the ancient animal died, its skull might have sunk to the bottom of the seafloor, where it was quickly preserved. The skull, measuring 1.3 meters long, was unveiled at Lima's Museum of Natural History. The Peruvian desert is rich in fossils and offers scientists 42 million years worth of evolutionary evidence. Other fossils found there include the four-legged dwarf whale and sharks, among others. A painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable material such as oil paint to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the US 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as seashells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species. But we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special under the title of Holding Grudge in the View of Islam. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Today, Friday, is the 28th of Shaban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to chapter Al-Ghafir, verse 35. Of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alladhina yujadiluna fi ayatillahi bighayri sultanin atahum kabura maqtan 'indallahi wa 'indalladhina amanu. كذلك يطبع الله على كل قلب متكبر جبار.
Those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah without an authority having come to them, great is hatred of them in the sight of Allah and in the sight of those who have believed. Thus does Allah seal over every heart belonging to an arrogant tyrant.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question provides further exposition for those according to which Allah Almighty seals hearts. It is herein said that Allah Almighty seals up the heart of arrogant tyrants. Their failure to submit to truth is mentioned at the close of the verse, saying that thus Allah Almighty seals the hearts of the wrongdoing arrogant to the extent that their hearts are sealed up, that neither their foul contents may exude, nor may the right and invigorating contents be absorbed by them. This is today's special and holding grudge in the view of Islam. How do I get rid of my bad feelings towards someone? To answer your question, it is natural to have negative feelings towards someone who one was harmed by. These feelings are not sinful as long as they are not acted upon outwardly or inwardly. inwardly refers to holding grudges against them, having bad opinions of them, being happy at the difficulty that befalls them, or being upset at the blessing granted to them, feeling superior to them, and so on. These are referred to as the destructive qualities of the heart. They are sinful and you should strive to work on them. It is important to note that nothing can occur of harm or benefit except with the decree of Allah Most High. If indeed someone was the cause of your difficulties, they are accountable. You, on the other hand, are only accountable for how you respond to this trial from Allah Most High.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasteen. Regarding holding grudge feeling hatred about someone or some people, one should be very careful in order not to develop these moral vices in him or herself, because in the long run they may inspire, such moral vices may inspire some people to commit some crimes. And we find that, many people have been, for example, killed because of other people's feeling grudge or feeling hatred regarding them. And when we study the context and situation, it becomes apparent that, perhaps one of the reasons was that the person who's already had one of the virtues in some places boasted of himself or of herself that I am such a person, I know such a topic, I'm an expert in such a field, I am such and such a person. So we find that these moral virtues, as indicated in Islamic teachings, are for the whole community, both for the individual and the community, to live a peaceful life. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Holding a grudge harms your physical health. Several studies over the years have proven time and time again that holding on to a grudge or just any resentful emotion can seriously harm our physical health. A study performed at Oxford University has stated that holding a grudge has been associated with heightened cardiovascular diseases. It was proven that being hostile influenced various test results when the subjects were asked about negative personal experiences. The result proved that individuals with high hostility were also at high risk for increased high blood pressure. What should I do when someone doesn't forgive me? Dear brother, dear sister, change your mind. Yes, the first thing you should do is change your mind. In the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 263, Allah mentions that forgiveness is better than charity. While giving forgiveness to others, we will feel relieved. It is so for mental health, so that we can be spared of anxiety and guilty feelings. that feeling just like after we read surahs in the Quran that peace your soul. Good words and forgiveness are better than alms accompanied by hurtful action. God Almighty, most trustees.
الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله. The remembrance of Allah cleanses your soul, cleanses your heart. Then you wake up one day, you have no problem with anyone. With anyone, you have no problem. In fact, rather than cursing your enemies, you pray for them. It's a big difference, my friends. Big difference. It's a big leap between cursing them and praying for their guidance. Big difference. That is our imams. Our imams used to pray for their enemies. They would not curse them. They pray for them. This is one of the takeouts of the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we have it, and you have it in your heart. Take it with you. Teach your children. Don't keep rancor inside, because your heart gets sick. And if your heart one day, la samahallah, God forbid, if your heart gets sick, you pay the price. You are the first casualty, not your enemies. You are the first casualty. You're going to have an ailing heart, and an ailing heart would not allow you to enjoy this life. It would not allow you to enjoy your family, your kids, your neighborhood, your friends, and others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow on our hearts and minds the best health, inshallah. And we have the power, the ability, the patience to take out the grudge, inshallah. And we can, those who hurt us, we can pray for their guidance. Every day of our life is a day of struggle between truth versus falsehood, between justice versus injustice, between goodness versus evil, between love versus hate. Every single day. I would not say once a week or once a month. Every single day we see and we observe and we experience this confrontation between the two camps. And God says paradise is not free. It's not free. You have to pay. You have to pay for it. God says in this verse in Surah Al-Imran, Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannah? You suppose, you assume that God opens the gate of paradise for you and say, Tafadhalu, you are welcome, ahlan wa sahlan. No, he will do that, but after he knows, he makes sure that, hatta ya'lam alladhina jahadu minkum, those who really struggled in this life, they were steadfast. Ya'lam alladhina jahadu minkum wa ya'lam as-sabirin, and those who are patient. It requires a lot of patience. We have to decide where do we stand, with what group we stand, the group of the truth, justice, understanding, humanity, love, care, forgiveness, or the group of arrogance, the mutakabbirin, the occupiers, the oppressors, the arrogance. Which one? We have to decide. When we look at history, we find that standing with the people of falsehood is very easy. The easiest thing here is to side with the people of falsehood. It has many incentives, allurements, many stimuluses they give you to stand with the people of falsehood. Very easy. And to stand with the people of the truth is not easy. It's very difficult. It's very intimidating. In fact, it's very dangerous and it is very costly. But God says, this is the price we pay for paradise.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. Till another episode, we'll leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi. محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي.
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.